You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Johnny revealed about Pastor John. I know what you were thinking. You saw him standing there. And you were thinking, man, he looks good. He came back from Nicaragua and he looks tan. He's even better looking than he was before. And I know that you were confused because you thought that was John, but it's Pastor Jose, you know. So I just wanted to clarify that. My name is Jose Morelos, and I'm the mission. You know, every time I say this, the thing that comes to my mind is the Princess Bride, you know. My name is Jose Morelos. You killed my father. Prepare to die. And I have to resist the temptation of saying that. So, you know, I sound like that in my head. But I am the missions pastor here. And like Pastor Johnny said, Pastor John is sick. He came back from Nicaragua with something, and he asked me to share. And I jumped at the opportunity to do that because I always love talking about what God is doing in missions, what God is doing across the world. And I jump at an opportunity that I don't have all the time to do this. There is something exciting about returning from a trip like we just returned. And it is not just physically returning, and it is great to be back because, you know, you you go back to our own bed and your own routine and you miss it. So it is good to be back, but coming back with stories, with praise, with fresh fire from seeing what God is doing, it's exciting to see God at work in places like where we are planting churches in Nicaragua and Peru, Cuba. But I'm telling you that it is a challenge for all of us. I think it is a challenge for me to do this because how in the world can you articulate? How do you faithfully articulate what you just saw? How do you express? How do you share? What are the words to have to explain the emotions of seeing people touched by the power of God, seeing their tears, seeing them coming to Christ, seeing people singing and overwhelmed by the presence. How do you do that? I know that I can't. I don't have the intelligence to be able to do that because it is so overwhelming at times that often what we end up doing is that they ask you, like they ask me sometimes here in the lobby, how did it go? And you end up saying, it was good. It was great. Because you just can't, I can't express what I saw, what I experienced, what I had. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Appreciate that. But you guys sent us. You guys put into a lot of resources to send us to where we went. So I think you deserve to know, to have a sense of what happened. I think we have a responsibility to work, to try, to do our best to share with you, to report to you what we saw. We cannot just come in here and tell you it was great. I think you deserve to know how it went. And you deserve to have a report of how things went. And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas did in Acts 14, 26 and 27. If you have your Bible, it's in Acts 14, 26 and 27. Pastor or Dr. Luke is writing here. And if you don't have a Bible, right in front of you there is a blue Bible and it's on page 1023, 1023, right in front of you. Acts chapter 14, 26 and 27. And this is what Luke is writing in the book of Acts. From Italia, they sail back to Antioch. He's talking about Paul and Barnabas. They sail across from Italia to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. And we're going to be talking about that in a moment, but the church in Antioch commissioned themselves to go and do the work. And on arriving there, they gathered the church together, just like we are here this morning, and reported all that God had done through them and how he, God, had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. You know, Italia still is a port in the east, the coast of Turkey. And Paul was returning after his first missionary journey. It took him 2 years. And he went to Lystra and Iconium and all that. And now he came back through Italia, took a boat, a ship, a cruise, and went across back to Antioch. And they didn't go back, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't go back to boast. You know, look what, all the things that you experience and the food and all that. They came back to glorify God, to give glory to God, and to tell the church, listen, guys, the gospel is working. People are coming to know Christ. People are being saved. God is moving throughout those lands. And they came to share to the church in Antioch, to the people in Antioch, to those who had sent them, the joy of what they had experienced. So today, like Paul and Barnabas, 11 of us just returned, not from Italia, but from Jinotega, Nicaragua. Jinotega, Nicaragua. And not after 1 or 2 years, but after 5 days. But we come with the same heart that Paul and Barnabas took to Antioch. We come to celebrate, to testify to you guys that the gospel is working in Nicaragua. To celebrate with you the fact that there are people coming to know Christ in Nicaragua because of your commitment to invest in what's happening there. And to invite you, I hope that at the end of this, as poorly as I'm trying to communicate to you, at the end of this, you have a sense of how wonderful it is that God is using the like of us to do his work. Think about it. This little place here, 2705 Taylor Road, is impacting the world, literally. You guys are doing that. Why? Who are we? Why isn't another church in the peninsula doing that? We're not better than they are. There are churches in the peninsula. I meet with pastors that often ask me, how do we do this? Because they want to do it. Why would God chose Point Harbor? I have no idea. But I'm telling you guys, this band of brothers here and sisters are impacting the world. You guys are having an impact, and I hope that you get a sense of gratitude for God using the like of us to do what he's doing. So I come to invite you to be part of what God is doing, if not through testimonies, through being part of sharing with others about what is doing around the world. Now, we follow Paul's model. What we're doing and what I'm going to share with you, we're not inventing. We didn't do this out of, we were so intelligent. We exactly following Paul's model of evangelism and missions. There were, if you synthesize Paul's model in missions, there are 4 things that he did. Very simple stuff. He prayed. He preached, he prepared, and he planted. Very simple stuff. He prayed, he preached the gospel, he prepared leaders, and then he planted new churches. And this first part is important. The prayer times that we're having here, that we just had here, the Pastor Johnny led, and then the prayer time that we're having on Tuesday morning, I'm telling you guys, it's making a difference. It is empowering us to do things that we could not do by ourselves. Something happens when we pray. Something happens when we come in here and humble ourselves and ask God to provide for us, and in the process to use us whatever he, however he wants. And he's using us because we're praying. And then we are preaching the gospel. Pastor John preaches the gospel. There are churches around that we have helped fund are preaching the gospel. They are preparing leaders, and we are planting churches. So the model of Paul is that he was sent out from the church in Antioch. You remember in Acts 13, I'm sure that you have read that, in which the church is gathered together. They are praying. They are fasting. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them at that time. They're together fasting and praying. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them, to the church, I want you to separate Barnabas and Paul to the work that I have prepared for them. The church received the direction from the Holy Spirit, and the church then acted and did what the Holy Spirit would ask him then to do. And they put their hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them on the way to do the mission that the Holy Spirit had already prepared for them. Then he preached. Paul didn't just preach, he made disciples and organized them into churches. He equipped them and then organized them into churches. He would have to come back later on through the years to re-equip, to retrain, but he preached, he prepared them, he organized them into churches. And then one thing that we are learning here, that I'm learning here, is that he came back to report. He came back to report on Acts 14:27 shows that Paul took the time to report to the church that sent him. This wasn't just an accountability, and it is important to be accountable. I mean, I want you to know that the resources that you invest in other countries, they are accountable to us. There is a reporting system in which we trust them, but we want to make sure that the investment that you have, the return on that investment, we know what it is. That they will keep in target to what we have decided to do. So accountability is important. But it wasn't just accountability for which they came back. It was a celebration. They came to celebrate the fact that God was faithful. They came to celebrate together, to tell the church, God is working. Your investment in us is working. And please continue doing that. So the model was simple for us. For us is we pray, we preach, we proclaim, and we plant. And we now reporting to you. Notice the language. Notice what it says in the scriptures that we read. And they reported all that God had done through them. It wasn't, we come to report what we did. They reported all that God had done through them. Paul wasn't saying, I'm the hero, look what I did. You know, I'm so, you know, so powerful, so smart. He wasn't saying that. God was the hero here. God was the one who received the honor. God was the one who used them, just like he's using the like of us to do what he's doing around the world. It isn't us. It is what he's doing, really. Because if we come down to the bare who we are, who the heck are we, you know? Really, there are many times in which I'm thinking, going someplace and thinking, why is God doing this through us, through me? And so I think about the fact that, you know, he uses donkeys to speak the gospel, so, you know, then I understand, yeah, okay, I get it, all right, you know, I get it. So just like today, it isn't about us and what we did. You know, it is not even about Point Harbor. It is about what God is doing through his people around the world. And at Point Harbor, yes, God is doing a lot throughout the world. And at Point Harbor here, in this place, this community of believers here, with Spanish-speaking people around us, and you know, there are, I don't know if you're aware, but there are 150,000 Hispanics in our area. 150,000, growing 7% every year. God is bringing them into our doorstep, whether we like him or not. You know, those Hispanics, they just take over. You have to be careful with them. But we like them or not, they are here, 150,000. And so God is working through El Sembrador here, through Pastor Victor, and we're thinking about what we're going to be doing in Newport News and what we're going to be doing in Norfolk already. Pastor Victor is already thinking about that and presenting plans to do that. And God is working through whatever we do here through a El Sembrador network of churches. Now, this may be the first time that you hear about this. I think many of you do not know this. It's not something that we have kept secret purposely, but there wasn't an opportunity or reason to share before. But there is what we call, what we have put together, El Sembrador Network of Churches. El Sembrador Network of Churches is more than a name. It's a spirit-led church planting ministry birthed right here from Point Harbor with a clear mission. We have a clear mission to see thriving gospel-centered churches planted in Spanish-speaking countries, healthy, reproducible congregations throughout South America and the Spanish-speaking world. Every church that is planted under the ministry carries the name El Sembrador, which means the sower. This name is it's not just symbolic. It reflects our calling to sow the seed of the gospel throughout Latin America and beyond. And the name is not, we didn't invent that. It came straight from Jesus when he spoke on Luke chapter 8. He said, a farmer went out to sow the seed and to plant the seed. So we take in that from that passage. The farmer, El Sembrador, is every pastor and every believer who is willing to scatter gospel news throughout, trusting that God will bring the growth. That the growth is not our part. The growth is not our responsibility. It is God's responsibility. Part of our formula, part of that equation, part of our agreement is that we do the planting and God does the growing. And he grows however he wants. Each El Sembrador church is unique, shaped by the local culture and context. You know, they are different. Every El Sembrador church is different, like every culture is different. You know, their food is different, the way they dress is different, the way the music is different. But they are unified, not uniform. They are unified under one vision and one spiritual DNA. And that DNA comes from Point Harbor, from us, from here, for who we are. And it is lived through shared values. We share the same values. It is important that we do that. It's part of our DNA. Gospel-centered teaching. We are very picky about that, that we preach the gospel. It's part also of intentional discipleship. We are passionate about worship. Every El Sembrador church is passionate about worship. They have a heart for the lost and a hunger to plant more churches. El Sembrador church is identified by a church that plants other churches. If it doesn't want to plant other churches, it's not El Sembrador church. The network, by the way, is expanding with churches now in Nicaragua, in Peru. There are two churches in Peru. In Cuba, there is a church and there are other daughter churches. And let me just tell you that there are two more in the horizon, two more countries that Pastor John at the right time will share with you. Two new countries, two new pastors, that we are in the last process of vetting them to make sure that they are part of what God wants us to do through El Sembrador Network. And so at the right time, you will hear from that. But pray for that, because we are toward the last phase of what it was probably a year and a half of looking for the right person to lead those two churches those two new countries. And the growing network of churches, that is El Sembrador, is under the leadership of Pastor John. He carries the vision, he guards the DNA across the border. He is very jealous about making sure that the DNA of Point Harbor, who we are, is carried across the border, regardless of how they dress, regardless of how they speak, regardless of what they eat. The DNA of Point Harbor, it carries across the border, and Pastor John is very clear about that. So that means that his leadership ensures that whether you walk into El Sembrador Jinotega, or El Sembrador Caracas, or El Sembrador Cuba, that you'll see the same commitment to the word and discipleship, the same passion for Jesus, and the same drive to multiply. It's the same thing across of every Spanish-speaking El Sembrador churches. Now think about El Sembrador like an umbrella. Underneath are all the individual churches growing and thriving in different places. The umbrella doesn't stop the rain, right? It doesn't stop the rain. It just allows you to walk through it. And in the storms of ministry, and there are a lot of storms of ministry in the El Sembrador churches, I don't know how those pastors manage so much stuff that come from everywhere, you know, from opposition, from different places. I'm careful how to mention things because I don't want for them to be affected, but they are under tremendous stress, real. And so they have a commitment and a passion, and think about this as an umbrella, you know, and in the storms of ministry, these churches are sheltered by a structure of support by us, accountability, they are accountable to us, and share a mission. We share a mission of planting new churches. It's kind of, we are kind of a family reunion, right? You know, when you have family reunions, everyone got their own flavors and their own story and their own dramas, you know. And there are dramas. But we all wear the same T-shirt, you know, El Sembrador Network of Churches under the same umbrella. So, as Paul did in Acts 14:26, we return from our journey and report to you. And this is how I would rewrite this verse. From Nicaragua, they flew back to Point Harbor in Virginia, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. On arriving there, we did that last week, gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And this is why we are here today. We at Point Harbor celebrate the open doors God is giving us through El Sembrador. We rejoice in the church dedications, in the baptisms, the leaders who have been raised up, and those who are being reached. And we understand, however, that this is just the beginning. We're just starting. So now let me tell you a cool story, okay? Let me just tell you how we started in Nicaragua, because I think it's going to bless you. I think it gives you context to what I'm going to be sharing. I think that you will appreciate this. And many of us may not understand this. It's a great story, one that I think it will bless you. It's not just about a place far away. It's a story where you are part. You've been part of it, whether you know it or not. It is a story about faith, storms, purpose, and how God speaks when we listen. I want you to keep that in mind, how God speak, how God spoke, and we listened. It all started almost 18 years ago. After Hurricane Felix devastated part of Nicaragua in 2007, you may remember that the hurricane came right through the north part of Nicaragua, the border between Honduras and Nicaragua, and devastated a lot of communities. There were communities that were wiped out. Over 100 people were killed. And so our connection with Nicaragua began not with a grand plan. We didn't have a strategy. We didn't sit down and, okay, let's just work a business plan here, put together some mission, visions, objectives, and goals. And let's study this, let's put together a task force and study this. No, it just came out of the destruction that happened was overwhelming. And like God, we were moved with compassion. So we partnered with Pastor Earl, a faithful man of God, and off we went. We went to serve, to rebuild, to be the hands of Jesus and feet of Jesus. Over the years, we have helped build homes for those who lost everything. You know, there's Pastor Tom, is almost unrecognizable. You know, he just, look at, he had hair. Right here. We built many of those, and we supported orphanages and feeding centers throughout the years. And we brought the love of God to people who needed to be encouraged, and also to children who needed to know that they matter. It was important for me to work with orphanages and let them know that, hey, you matter. You're not an accident. God put you here for a purpose. We even went into the remote river communities, places where you don't get to by road, only by boat. And this Pastor John, with one of the pastors in the river communities. Those are the feeding centers, and we work a lot there. Pastor John and Pastor Thomas, we went through visiting the river communities in the northern part of Nicaragua. There's Michelle working with children there. And while we were doing this, while we were doing all this stuff, God was doing something in us. While we were busy doing all this, and it was good stuff, God was doing something in us. You see, we thought that we were helping to rebuild Nicaragua, but God was rebuilding us too. He was clarifying our purpose through what we were doing. And Pastor John, our lead pastor, was listening. We were all listening. Not just what was happening, but what God was saying. And slowly but surely, he started to speak more clearly to us. At the beginning, we didn't understand. But first, it was a whisper. We began to hear God saying to us through the Holy Spirit, you are a church that plants churches. You are a church that plants churches. You, Point Harbor, 2705 Taylor Road, this little place, corner of the world, you are a church that plants churches. What does that mean? You know, how do you do that? But we began to listen. You are a church that plants churches. First, we didn't understand how to do this. What did it mean? What do you mean with our relationships that we already had with others? But the whisper grew louder. And we started to realize our mission wasn't just relief. It wasn't just mercy. It was multiplication. Now, I want you to understand, we feeding kids, it's nothing wrong with that. We helping orphans is a good thing. But we began to feel a shift. God was asking us to go deeper, Point Harbor, to go deeper. He was asking for more. He was asking us to invest in reproducing disciples and planting churches to plant more churches. He was asking us together to do that. And that's when something funny happened. We realized that we couldn't do this ourselves. We needed to find the right partners. And we started looking for pigs, not chickens. Let me explain. You probably heard this, but in a breakfast of ham and egg, the chicken makes a contribution, right? Here's an egg, two eggs. And we'll do it tomorrow and if you want. We have chickens, and some of those chickens are not given eggs, so I think we're gonna turn them into nuggets soon. But the pig gives it all. The pig is everything. We were looking for, just for folks that would give an egg. We were looking for people who were willing to give everything for the gospel. Everything for the work that we were planning to do. Everything for planting churches. Everything for what God was now not just whispering, but in a loud voice was telling us, you are a church that plants churches. So we need to plant churches, and we needed to find the right partner to do that with. And then 6 years ago, God led us to Pastor Oscar. Now, here's a man who wasn't interested in just another ministry or program. He was passionate about planting churches. And this is Pastor Earl, who introduces to Pastor Oscar and his and Lemire and kids that many years ago at Oscar's home. And he introduced us to a faithful couple living in a mountain town called Inotega, 3,000 feet higher and around 3 hours north of Managua. This couple had a heart for missions, their heart for the city. They started small, gathering people in their homes, praying, worshiping, and sharing the gospel. And with Pastor Oscar's mentorship and guidance, they began to minister to small groups who became larger groups. And you can see them there meeting and having worship services. And now listen, church. Last week, a team of us, 11 of us from Point Harbor, and you send us, had the privilege of standing in Inotega, dedicating a brand new church, El Sembrador Inotega, out of that. What was a whisper before, years before, what was just a couple, man and wife meeting together in a living room and grew, where it was just a vision of someone's heart, is now a beacon of hope in that mountain city. And a lot of that is because you, what you did, what you have done, because all this that they did, the new building, new ministries, it's a great part because of what Point Harbor had done, what you guys had done. The church is called El Sembrador, which means the sower. Why? Because we are part of something bigger than a single church. We are part of a network of churches that is sowing the seed of the gospel across the Spanish-speaking world. And under the leadership of Pastor John, and with the DNA of Point Harbor, El Sembrador churches are growing, multiplying, and changing lives. We saw that. We saw that this past week. We had the honor of dedicating that new church building to the Lord. It was a privilege. It was a unique privilege. We were humbled by what we saw. We ministered with them there. Robbie, one of our students, shared his testimony to students there in Inotega. He was transparent and vulnerable and shared how he had dealt with some problems and how it debilitated him and how God had come to his rescue and how he had been able to overcome those situations because of God. We have Pastor Dan, who reached out. We had a special service of inviting business people in the community. Over 50-plus business owners came to listen to him about financial peace. And you can see the eye, you know, clicking as they were understanding new ways of being financially successful. The students took part on an outreach to the community, and then Pastor John spoke and led a worship service to dedicate the new church. We saw the faces of young people as they listened to Robbie. I mean, I was sitting down looking at them, and you could see how. Actually, I was translating, but I could, as I was translating, I could see how the kids were looking at Robbie. We looked at the positive reaction of the business owners as they listened to Pastor Dan, and saw them begin to struggle with this idea of the snowball effect on finances. You know, difficult to translate because they don't have any snow. So, you know, but Pastor Dan, you know, he's a magician, you know, so he did all kind of things, and people, you know, began to click. The snowball, oh, the snowball, la nube que vuela. Okay, está bien. We saw the emotions of children as they worked on Saturday with our students. And on Sunday, as they officially dedicated their new church. So like Paul and Barnabas, we say today, God opened a door in Hinotega. It was God. He did that. He opened the door in Hinotega. Church, we need to celebrate that. We need to praise God. Praise God for what he did in Hinotega. It wasn't us. It's what he did through us, through a bunch of people who were committed, who said yes, who listened to Pastor John and said, okay, we are going to support this. We are a church, the planned church, and we're going to do that. And that is a result. This is, you know, that's a church that we were dedicated. And only, you know, this is a sacred moment in which we are signing a document in which that dedication of church becomes now a marked moment in the story of that congregation. What we're doing through Point Harbor and El Salvador is not a new idea. It's just being obedient to what Jesus' commands are. God in Matthew 28, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. On Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power. This is Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This means that if you are a believer, if this morning you call yourself a Christian, if your name is written in the book of life because you accepted Christ, then it is inevitable that you will be a witness. Because it says in here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be. It's not that you could be, you could choose to be, or, you know, if it is your desire, if conditions are right, you could be a witness. It says you will be as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit. It is a result. You don't ask for it. It is born within you for having received the Holy Spirit. So if today you don't feel any passion for this, it's what we're sharing here, as poorly as I am, but if you don't hear the power of God working through all this in here, and you don't get excited, there's something wrong here. I'm not doubting your salvation, but you need to go back to Jesus and ask him, what's happening here. This is why missions exist. It's not a side ministry for us, you know. It is the heart of the Great Commission. And here's the beautiful thing. God is using nationals to reach their own people. We are not sending Americans here that will take 5 years, 10 years to learn the language, and then another 10 years to get cultural acquainted. And then after that, 20 years, they have to come back to the state because they need sabbatical and to reacquaint with McDonald's and Taco Bell and all that, and then go back. You know, we're not doing any of that. You know, we're investing in faithful local leaders like Pastor Oscar, people who live there, love their community more than we do. And they're already fluent in the language of the country and the culture. So let's talk about our church. Point Harbor is a church that plants churches. We heard that, we articulate that, and we're doing that. We're not just we're not building a bigger building here. We are building a legacy that stretches across nations. Our strategy is bold, planting 25 churches in 10 years in key Spanish-speaking cities. We already have six, guys. Already have six. We're on our way. And we have two more coming. These are not just any churches. These are mother churches. The 25 churches are mother churches, which means that it is part of the DNA to reproduce, to plant other churches. Churches to plant churches. It should be the supernatural desire of churches to plant churches. just like parents, you know, we want to have babies, and we have babies. Sometimes we regret that, but we have babies. We may not live to see the full fruit of all this plan. But like Abraham, we're investing in promises we may not fully witness for future generations. It is our legacy. God is using us, you, to open doors of faith across the world. So now what do? We celebrate, we stay faithful. We're not done yet. With 25 churches, one plant themselves. Your giving, your prayers, your support is part of what fuels this mission. You need to embrace your role. There is a role in you for the 25 by 35 goal. And we are leaving a legacy. This isn't just about us. This is about our children and our children's children. One day, a little kid in Hinotega who gave his life and was saved in a church that was just planted will plant a church somewhere. And you will be a part of that story. When this kid, should he in 30, 40 years write a book, he will write the fact that a bunch of gringos went there, supported the church, and now they had daughter churches, granddaughter churches, and that's where we are. So let me close with this. The passage in Acts 14 speaks of Paul and Barnabas returning to their mission. And that's what we're doing today, reporting to you. We're reporting all that God has done through you, through your prayers, through your giving. We're reporting that God is opening doors, that the people are hearing the gospel, churches are being planted, and the seed of the gospel planted long ago in tears are now bringing harvests of joy. It all started in Nicaragua with a hurricane and a whisper. You are a church that plant churches. And faithful people that said, okay, we get it. So church, let's keep being pigs, okay? Let's keep going all in. Let's keep listening to the whispers of God, following him wherever he leads us. Because the harvest is plentiful. We need more churches. When Paul returned to Antioch, he didn't return tired. He returned thankful. Maybe a little bit banged up, like some of us are after trips like this. But he returned faith-filled. He returned ready to go again, and so are we. And you know why? Because today we stand in the shoulders of faithful believers, those who planted this church here, Point Harbor, 50 years ago. And now we get to be the shoulders of others who will stand on us. And you will be part of that. We are ascending church, Point Harbor. We are multiplying church, Point Harbor. And we are leaving a legacy of churches around the world. Let's pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for this moment, for the opportunity to report to my brothers and sisters about the wonderful things that you have done throughout El Sembrador Network of Churches. Father, we thank you for making us part of this global mission. Thank you for every door of faith you have opened. And Father, we pray that you make us bold, make us generous, make us faithful. Thank you for what you are doing through Point Harbor, through El Sembrador, and pastors like Oscar and Victor and Jorge and Daniel and Francisco and the other two that are coming. Thank you for opening doors for new believers and for churches that are full of life. And Father, help us. May we never grow weary of doing good. Use us, send us, multiply us for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.